Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Dungeon Madness by Dakota Kraut. Narrated by Vikas Adam. Prologue. Roughly 23 days ago, a sibilant yet melodious voice sounded in the pre-dawn darkness. "Prepare, my acolytes. It is time to begin. For too long we have suffered injustices at the hands of the Children of Light. Each time we have worked to better the world for those like ourselves, we have been forced once more into obscurity and degradation. This is truth, yes? Our time has finally come! As one, hundreds of men and women of multiple races stood to attention, then briskly and properly genuflected toward their dark leader. "Hail, Master! It is as you say!" Their timing, beat into them, was perfect. Their voices were synchronized. Necromancers were bowing to another being. The entire fighting force showed a discipline and level of training that had not been seen in a military since before cultivation became widespread so many millennia ago. Black eyes flicked between the bent forms, studying posture and ensuring proper respect was given. Slowly, a smile appeared on the face of the master. It would have made any sane man shudder. "Lovely. And well done. It is far past time to give you all your orders. Rise." The people straightened their posture as one, trying to never show a hint of discomfiture in their master's pernicious presence. "As I am sure you remember, those of you who survived the last time we tried a plan of this magnitude, we were stopped. We were rushed, unprepared for our true opponents in the world. We were defeated because of one simple fact. We stepped into the scorching light before we were ready. We allowed ourselves to be goaded, to react to the fear and hate, the propaganda spread against us." The voice paused, savoring the moment. "Now we are ready. We prepared the caverns and the altar. Our brother sacrificed himself to become our arsenal, and all he now needs in order to provide us with an unending stream of weapons and minions, all we need are sacrifices." Monstrous creatures stepped forward, falling into ranks behind the rigid horde of necromancers. "Go. Take your creatures, your minions, your slaves. Take them and do what no army of the undead has done before. Return with captives." The master gave a minuscule nod to his troops, and they began to cheer fanatically. The undead moaning and clattering joined the noise, and soon the terrifying laugh of demons and abominations joined in as well. The hordes marched into the night. They would bring captives as ordered, after they had their fun. 1. Dale's group wearily began ascending the stairs that led to the surface. Covered in dust, blood, and other foul substances, their main goal at this point was to clean themselves up and go to bed. They began moving upward, but Dale nearly missed a step when a voice sounded in his mind. "Can you still hear me?"
"Son of a—" Dale whispered as his eyes darted around.
The others in his group took no notice of his odd behavior. In their minds, there were plenty of reasons that Dale might be talking to himself.
He had just died, after all.
I'll take that as a yes. Try something real quick. Instead of speaking aloud, try thinking your words at me, I eagerly directed him.
Dale's mind spun as he tried to think of something to say before finally landing on the obvious.
What are you? He thought, as hard as he could.
Danny, I'm not getting anything from him. What should we do? I think talking aloud will make people think he is mentally damaged, so... Oh, is that it? Yeah, I'll tell him. Dale, hi, my name is Cal. I am the dungeon, so kind of aim your words at me.
Dale again tried to use his thoughts, pretending he was talking to this Cal.
Hello?
I responded in a very excited tone. There we go! Listen, Dale, I don't really think you should tell other people about this. We don't have time for explanations since you are about to meet up with a bunch of powerful people, but we will talk later.
Hey, you can't just suddenly pop into my head and then not give me any info.
Dale began, thinking indignantly at the voice. At that very moment, they reached the top of the stairwell and opened the door to find a sea of cheering people, sprinkled with a handful of furious faces.
You irresponsible little shit!
Madame Chandra stepped forward and started aiming a slap at Hans, who had the highest cultivation rank of Dale's group and was their de facto advisor. Rose smoothly stepped in and blocked the blow, shock on her face.
Grandma, what is wrong with you?
We just saw you fight a beast, Rose,
Chandra hissed at the young half-elf.
He was supposed to protect and guide you all, not lead you directly into a death trap.
Rose stayed firm in the face of the High Mage.
He did everything he could. That beast was something none of us could have expected, and it broke almost every bone in Hans's body when he attacked it, giving the rest of us a chance.
Rose was flushed and furious.
We would all be dead right now if he hadn't been able to inject poison with the daggers he found. That cat was moving too fast for us to land a single hit until Hans basically sacrificed himself for us.
Several healers voluntarily stepped forward and offered their services to the weary group as Rose tried to calm Madame Chandra down. Most of the healers subtly avoided Dale. He was covered in a foul, waxy substance that stunk like rotting meat dipped in a latrine. Rose slapped away a few hands that got a bit too liberal with their examinations, while the hulking barbarian of their group, Tom, allowed the hands of blushing ladies to roam freely. Hans chose that moment to collapse into unconsciousness, quickly followed by Adam, their cleric. Adam had used a large portion of his cultivation base to create a powerful incantation during the fight with the magnificent beast, a distortion cat. Using his essence in such a manner had permanently dropped him a full rank, reducing him to D-rank 4. If his cultivation rate continued as it had in the past, it would normally take him a year or more to attain his former power. Luckily for him, he was near a high-density source of essence and should be able to rank up much more quickly. Hans's issue was more basic. He had recently had many of his major bones broken, as well as suffered major internal damage to his organs. The intervention of the glitterflit-type bashers in the dungeon had healed him enough to escape the dungeon, but after a cursory examination from a healer, he was rushed off to surgery. Several of his bones had been shattered, and when they were repaired inexpertly down below, hadn't aligned properly. Hans would need to be shaped by a flesh mage to fix all the damage correctly, and would be out of commission for at least a week. The other members were also properly examined after that announcement. Luckily, all of them were deemed healthy. Dale was given several odd looks, likely because he was far healthier than the others, and he had recently died. Although, obviously, he had gotten better. Several people tried to grab his attention, but immediately upon catching a whiff of his rank self, they all made appointments to meet him later. As soon as he was deemed healthy, Dale rushed to the river to get cleaned up. Frank had sent a runner to get him soap and clean clothes, refusing to allow Dale to walk through highly populated areas. Dale pulled off his armor at the edge of the river, diving in as the last bit of clothing fell to the ground. He surfaced with a gasp, the ice-cold mountain water shocking his system. He looked around as the water darkened and quickly began scrubbing himself as hard as he could with some sand to break up the crusty mess on his body. The slow current carried the foulness away. A fish bobbed to the surface a few yards downstream, stunned by the high concentration of toxins dripping from Dale's body. He had never heard a fish gag before. The young man shuddered as he remembered the sadistic beast that had skewered his heart, how it had stared into his eyes, practically laughing as the light faded. He tried to remember what had happened next, but there was a blank between that and waking up again. A very unexpected outcome. He was shaken from his dark thoughts when a young man ran up with a basket containing a robe and toiletries. Dale thanked him and promised a tip when he got back to his tent. The freckle-faced boy grinned and ran off to his next task. Dale had a reputation as a good tipper. After scrubbing at himself for nearly 10 minutes, Dale realized that no matter how much effort he used, he couldn't seem to get rid of the odor. With a start, he realized his mistake. He quickly found a toothbrush and crushed mint paste in the basket. While he enjoyed the feeling of his teeth returning to a normal taste and coloration, a small crowd of people gathered at the edge of the river. These people were his current council. Father Richard, to represent the church and its interests, Guildmaster Frank of the Adventurer's Guild, High Magus Amber of the Mages Guild, specifically the smaller subset of the Portal Guild, Madame Chandra to represent the, well, her own interests, Dale supposed. To round out the group, there were a few people that came with these esteemed individuals to take down notes.
"What?"
Dale croaked around the toothbrush, letting some foam drip down his chin.
"Never seen a dead man take a bath?"
One of the note-takers gagged. Father Richard's eyes flickered with some dark memories.
Of all the things I have seen dead people do, I have to admit that bathing is a first for me."
Dale snorted, sending tears to his eyes as the mint in his tooth cleanser burned his nostrils, though he welcomed the pain. It was the first time he had smelled something new since he woke up.
"No, Dale. We are here to make sure that you are okay,"
Madame Chandra spoke gently. Dale snorted again.
"Am I okay?"
He pondered a few moments.
"Yep, just dandy."
He spat out the toothpaste and dunked under the water again, rinsing himself off one last time. He walked to the shore, tired enough that he was willing to ignore the fact of his nudity as he came out of the water to collect his armor. He grabbed it and unceremoniously began scrubbing the accumulated filth off his breastplate. Amber gasped at him.
"Dale, your body! Oh my!"
Tears sprang to her eyes as she looked at the previously husky man. His body looked emaciated, the flesh sagging around muscles that no longer pulled his skin taut. All fat had been burned away, leaving a very thin man with haunted, blazing blue eyes.
"Your eyes used to be brown, didn't they?" Richard muttered under his breath.
Madame Chandra took a more direct approach.
"Dale, what happened down there? We saw only the last bit of the fight when the darkness cleared away. We saw you get killed, but then you got up for some reason. How? Actually, no. Leave the armor here, and I will have it cleaned professionally. You are just swirling that goop around. Put on that robe and we will go to the pleasure house. You obviously need some food with high nutritional density, as much as you can eat, on the house as usual. Come with us, Dale."
Her speech ended on a pleading note. Dale nodded, dropping the armor and stumbling toward her. His stomach more screamed than growled as it was reminded that food did, in fact, exist somewhere nearby. Frank wrapped him in a robe and led him toward the restaurant, with the others following behind. Cal.
I had tried communicating with Dale again several times after he had left my dungeon, but as soon as he stepped fully out, either he could no longer hear me or was simply not responding. Well, fine. I have more important things to do than keeping tabs on a low-level adventurer anyway. I'm having some trouble here, Danny, I told my faithful Wisp.
Anything like the cat that nearly killed us?
Danny chuckled sardonically. I thought for a moment, just long enough to make her grow nervous. No, nothing like that.
Danny nodded fiercely.
Good. Because you promised me that you would take a week off experimenting, right?
Well, a few days. Would a few hours be sufficient?
Doing my best to ignore her glare, I quickly continued.
Let me explain the problem. When Dale's new group came through here, I threw everything we had at them. Everything. There are no living mobs in here except a few shroomish, and with the barrier over the entrance, we are not getting any influx of essence from outside.
She began to look a bit concerned.
Oh, I hadn't thought of that.
I tried to ease her stress.
I don't know if it will be too much of an issue. After all, they will most likely open the door in a few days. The essence gathering rune script in here is pulling in every drop from the dungeon and keeping it here while I work to absorb it. What I wanted you to consider is adding a new floor and possibly changing how I do a few things. She looked at me querulously.
Changing a few things? Like what? I like the idea of adding a new floor, but will you have the essence to do that and make changes and respawn every mob in here?
Every time she said "and" like that, it made me a bit more nervous that I was giving myself too much to do, but I felt that these things all needed to be done.
Well, I might not get it all done right away, but I will over time. Shall we go over the changes I want to make?
She acquiesced to my request a bit grumpily, but I didn't hold it against her. We had spent the last day being closer to death than we had ever come before.
Let's start with the first floor. The mining area is annoying to me, but it brings in a lot of rather weak people every day. I want to expand that room so more people can work at once and widen the entryway so that a full contingent of miners and tools can come through if need be. Right now, two people can squeeze through the archway at a time, and I want to make it wide enough for at least five.
Danny thought for a moment and nodded.
That'll be fine if you are going to add another floor anyway. Can we get rid of shroomish and other weak things on that floor? Oh, can we add a flower room there? Maybe grow some herbs in a more concentrated spot? I want a garden.
I laughed at her sudden enthusiasm.
Sure. I know you have been bored recently, so how about I give you total control over what goes where in there? In there, you say, do this, and I will follow all your orders.
About time,
she playfully frowned at me.
Thanks. It'll be the prettiest room in here.
She turned misty-eyed at the thought. I looked at her form.
Wow! You can shape your body? You literally look like a human eye that is tearing up.
Danny haughtily informed me.
There are many things that I can do that you've never bothered to ask about.
Oh, like what?
She scoffed.
I can't tell you. How would I be able to remain aloof and mysterious? What?
This sort of response is why I never ask.
She squeaked with outrage, flashing crimson.
Anyway, I was thinking that we leave the bashers on that floor with a squad of enhanced bashers as the floor boss. We leave the shroomish. They are our only ranged attackers. Sorry about that. On the next floor, we have only enhanced bashers with the old alpha squad's upgrades, keeping Rail as the floor's boss. Good so far?
Yes, but I feel like you were about to make me mad again for some reason.
She muttered her dark premonition.
Good guess!
I chuckled at her glowering.
I want to make the third floor a mix of distortion cats and advanced bashers with a cat as a boss, if I can manage it.
Cal, we just got the distortion cat killed, and you want to make more of them? Aren't you going to have bad memories seeing them all the time?
Danny demanded. If she had feet, she would be stomping around throwing a tantrum. I tried to soothe her.
No, I think that making them our guards will help us get over it quicker. Plus, we survived just fine, didn't we?
Not the point.
She sighed loudly.
Fine. What else?
I smiled, knowing she was as interested in these changes as I was, even if she pretended otherwise.
Well, you know how I sometimes get distracted when battles are going?
Danny snorted.
What? You? Distracted?
You think that you are so funny. Back to my point, sometimes people don't get the loot that they should because I forget to drop it for them.
What would you say if I wanted to instead have a place in the room for loot?
A place where all the loot goes that they should be getting. That way, I can just refill it when a group empties it. Oh, better yet, I can set one of these essence collectors to a seed pattern. Then it will automatically refill.
I was nearly shouting in excitement by the time I finished.
I thought you liked giving personalized loot.
Danny reminded me of the fun I had messing with people.
Well, I still can, right? If I see something really spectacular or learn about a glaring weakness, I'll reward them for it.
I promised her.
I'm thinking a box? Maybe a hole in the ground?
Danny rejected those options.
No, it needs to be something obvious. How about we make a treasure chest?
A what?
It is essentially what you are describing. A really fancy box that swings open on hinges. We can put it at the exit to the room, so groups will have to survive and travel all the way across the room to collect the rewards.
Danny was getting excited that she could use her experience from before she bonded to Cal.
Cantor did something similar, but I never knew why, so I never brought it up. Now it makes perfect sense.
Great. You will help me with the design, right? I've never seen a chest before.
I was excited to start, but there was more to discuss.
Now, since we are getting larger again, I was thinking that instead of only allowing the people on the second floor to leave the dungeon on the stairwell,
I paused for dramatic effect,
I could arrange the boss rooms so that after every boss, they could choose to leave. That way, people will be more confident in fighting the boss immediately.
I don't understand what you mean. Do people not feel confident when going into the boss rooms?
Danny queried with a frown.
Why do they bother to come in here then?
I explained my reasoning as succinctly as possible.
I should hope they are worried every time they fight. What I mean, though, is that some people will turn around and leave instead of fighting the boss because they are worried that they will be too injured afterward to get out of here. If there is an option every level to make a quick escape, the bosses will get a lot of kills, much faster than they normally do. If they get enough kills, they may be able to evolve naturally without my help. That is my hope, at least.
Smart,
Danny exclaimed.
That's a good plan. Where should we start?
Let's change up the first floor, then populate it. After that, we will make the small but necessary changes to the second floor and finally add on the third level. If I work hard, I think I will be able to get everything done before they unblock me. I chuckled at the thought that I would soon be able to fight again.
2. Dale woke up flailing, reaching for a weapon to throw off the shadowy figure stabbing his. He sat up, shaking off the nightmare. Grimacing, he attributed the night of tossing and turning to eating like a pig right before bed. Certainly it couldn't have been because he was stabbed through the heart the week before. He almost started drooling at the memory of the huge steak and sides of vegetables, although they had barely satisfied him. With all his meridians opening at the same time, his body had used all available resources to purify himself and supply essence to the tissue throughout. A week to heal and recuperate wasn't enough, but it would have to do for now. Thinking back to how no one had an explanation for how it happened without his knowledge, he felt a little better. If no one else knew what had happened, maybe it actually was the dungeon who had fixed his body. Maybe he wasn't going insane and hearing voices that weren't there. He shook himself, refocusing on his body. His essence was pouring along the open meridians, constantly infusing his flesh with health, strength, and resilience. His body looked ruined, emaciated to a skeletal frame. He looked down. His ribs were prominent enough to be countable, and his waist looked positively non-existent. Despite his outward appearance, he had never been stronger. His muscles were permanently infused with the essence that now flowed through them, strengthening him beyond what his body had been capable of before. Dale could arm wrestle a small bear and easily win right now, and his new body was at its weakest point currently. While he would be able to put flesh on again, he would never need to worry about gaining fat. His body now processed food very quickly, burning through all the calories and protein he could take in. When he was again well-fed, his muscles would be like steel and his skin like hardened leather. His stomach chose that moment to remind him to go eat, so he reached for his armor, only to find it missing. He looked around wildly, then shook his head as he remembered how Madame Chandra had told him that she would have it cleaned and he could pick it up today. This also reminded him that he could eat at the restaurant for free for the next week, since he had saved Rose. He perked up. The pleasure house served breakfast. He got to his feet, expecting stiffness or pain, but his body moved as smoothly as if he had just had a light workout. Must be a side benefit of all the essence sloshing around in him. Before stepping out of his tent, Dale started cycling essence to his eyes so he could see the flow of power in all things. With this enhanced vision, he could see blots of color moving around outside, denoting moving people. Seeing no one near his door, he cautiously stepped outside, feeling naked without his armor.
"Boo!" a harsh voice shouted next to him.
"Ah!" Dale whipped around, raising his fists, only to see his friend Hans laughing at his terror.
"Ha ha ha!" Hans laughed, slapping his knees as he doubled over. "You sounded like a little girl. Oh, man! Woo-hoo! I needed that. Thanks, buddy." Dale glowered at him.
"Hans! You should be resting. Also, don't you think that you should be a bit nicer to me? I died last week."
"What? Nah, that isn't something to get worked up about. Happens to all of us. You are fine now, right?" Hans stopped laughing once he saw the serious look on Dale's face. "Dale." Hans sounded deadly serious now, almost angry. "You can't let this affect you so much. Yeah, that sucked, but are you going to give up on cultivating? Are you going to stop fighting in the dungeon? Should I? I owe over 600 gold to a flesh mage for all the re-sculpting of my body. Should I just tell him, 'Too bad, I'm done fighting because it is dangerous?'" Dale looked like he had been slapped.
I don't," he stammered.
"The correct answer is Abyss No," Hans shouted, getting angry now. "Dale, look at you. Sure, you look like shit, and you smell, and it is likely you won't get a woman until your 80s, but what else is new? How do you feel? Do you feel like a warrior, a champion that slew a monster way above his cultivation rank? Or are you going to allow yourself to feel like giving up so you can keep acting like a victim?"
Dale flushed.
"I'm not acting like... Oh, really? Then why have you been all weepy and pouty this whole week and so far this morning? Yeah, I heard how you were acting, and I've been watching you for almost a whole day to see if the information was accurate. I was embarrassed for you. You are acting like a spoiled little brat that has a bunch of people to run his life for him. Did you even realize that the entire council was there last night? Why do you think that was? You think just maybe they might be getting together to see if you are mentally fit to continue owning this land? You think they might be plotting to petition the king for a writ that will allow them to take the land from you if that is the case?"
Dale's face paled. He hadn't realized that was even a possibility.
"You need to start going to council sessions and stop letting people you barely know make all of your major life decisions for you. Now,
Tell me that you were acting stupid because you were tired, and you will be the strong, assertive Dale I know you to be!
Hans nearly shouted in his face.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?